This is Fix It. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Nishank. Today, we're fixing how the government innovates with Kyla Fullenwider.
It's a blast to have my old boss on the show. I worked for Kyla as a research assistant at the Shorenstein Center. Kyla has since left the center and the Kennedy School, but she's now a fellow at Georgetown University's Beck Center. Prior to her stints in academic circles, she was affiliated with a different shape, an oval. Kyla was among the few selected to be a White House Presidential Innovation Fellow. Later, she went on to serve as the nation's first Chief Innovation Officer.
Thank you for joining us, Kyla.
Thanks for having me.
First thing I've got to know, was Kevin an okay intern?
Kevin was the best.
Well,
I'm not just saying that.
I'm narrowing.
Thank you. I needed the ego boost
here. I'm glad that you're.
I couldn't have done my work without him.
Well, let's get into it. Kyla, talk to us about the government's current innovation strategy and why you perceive it to be a problem.
So that's a big one. I can't speak for all of government. I can speak, most sort of specifically about the Census Bureau, where I was the first chief innovation officer. I should note, not in the entire government, but just at the U.S. Census Bureau. And one of the things I think that struck me when I came into government from the private sector was that a lot of people, at least at that time, thought that innovation just meant tech. It just meant hardware and software and things like that. I think that thinking has evolved a lot in the last several years, but I think that has been a big cultural hurdle to get over. When I think about innovation in government, I basically just think about it in terms of finding new ways to improve things. And some of those new ways actually aren't necessarily new. It might in fact be maintaining things better, for example. But I think that sort of as we have seen, USDS and the PIF program and other types of things like that in the federal government, and also versions of that in local government, I think that some of the work that those folks have done so well is kind of getting away from this notion that innovation just means technology, and starting to think more about things like, engaging the public, co-design, bringing people along with you, those sorts of things.
And I think that's such an important point to point out, because when you think about Silicon Valley, there's often this joke that it's tech in search of a problem. Mm. And so, you just develop some new cool app and say, oh, well, certainly this is going to solve all of our innovation issues. But when you talk about some of these deeper and more structural approaches to innovation, what are some of the barriers preventing that from happening faster in the government? Is it just people who are not familiar with that sort of approach? Is it the structure of the institutions themselves, maybe some laws?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can be all of those things, depending on the maturity of the particular agency, depending on sort of where they are in their process. One of the things that I, focused on a lot when I was at the Census Bureau was really learning to work with the career folks and the people who had been in government for a long time. I think there, is this notion of this sort of like helicoptering in and fixing things and going away. And in fact, one of the people that I worked with at the Bureau that was probably one of the most effective innovators, if you will, she really showed me how important it was to bring career staff along with you in the process, seek out and value their contributions, and frankly, learn from their expertise, because they know a lot. There's a lot of knowledge that's already there. So I think that getting past that notion of, you have to contract it out or bring it in from the outside, but actually working with your existing talent that's already there, I think is important, and sometimes one of the last things to be considered. I also feel like there's this notion that the field of dreams fallacy, where, if you build it, they will come. If you just build the app or build the tech, then it'll solve all the problems. And in a way, it is a bit of a chicken and an egg thing, because good tech and good user experience certainly helps build trust, I think, in the public and the relationship with government. But for example, as we saw with the 2020 census, just making the technology available, for example, for people to respond online isn't enough. You really have to build trust. And that's in some ways a lot harder than building the technology. In some ways, the technology is the easy part. You know, another example that comes to mind is like in the benefits space, where we're seeing, for example, like in places like Florida, kind of, you know, a really really kind of structurally unsound unemployment system that, you know, has resulted in a lot of people just feeling like the process won't actually work for them. And so people have just stopped applying for unemployment benefits. And so I think moving away from that sort of field of dreams fallacy and toward, you know, how do we actually do that really human work of building trust with people. I know that's not a fun or sexy answer, but I think it's really important.
So talk to us, Kyla. How are you thinking about contributing to fixes here? What are you doing to build this trust and reinstate some confidence in the way the government innovates?
Well, so right now, my work is not explicitly in government anymore. But, you know, one of the things that we did when we stood up the Census Open Innovation Lab was really focus pretty, I would say, primarily for a long time, the work was focused on engaging the public in co-creating with us, co-designing with us. And what we found in that process was not just that, you know, having the community input created better messaging and creative content and that sort of thing, which it did, but that it actually helped create more buy-in and public ownership from the people that we were trying to reach. And so that co-design process is, I think, you know, is something that, you know, if I go back into work in government, that is something that I will bring with me always. I know the Office of the Surgeon General under Vivek Murthy, when I was also in government, they did a lot of that sort of co-design work around topics like the opioid crisis, because they really understood that for something that is such a deeply personal issue, you know, hearing from and working with the people who were suffering from addiction, their families, their friends, was going to be critical in creating the kind of cultural moment that needed to happen to kind of destigmatize addiction. So that for me, the co-design process, kind of, that's a big umbrella term, but I think that is a really, really critical part of reimagining how government does innovation, not just sort of these top-down solutions is another way to put it.
So we like to think that there are a lot of listeners who are likely to go into government at some point in time. And if you had to give them some advice for, let's say they're joining an impending administration, how they could be a member of that administration in a way that does advance this innovation mindset, what would be some tools they could think about using, maybe some best practices to engage with folks who may be older than them and less familiar with some innovation strategies? What kind of 2 cents would you pass along?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I also like to think of it as like, what would I have liked to know when I started? So certainly I think that a couple points I've made so far, so trust before technology, and the sort of the point about bringing people along with you, both inside the government and your colleagues, the non-techies, the non-designers, if you will, and also the public in that co-design process. I think another critical point I would make is don't be afraid to beg, borrow, and steal good ideas. And I think that cities are actually really good at this. I've worked with a lot of cities over the last couple of years, and they have no shame in borrowing and stealing other cities' ideas. And they're sort of very open about it. I jokingly call it like open sourcefulness. And I think part of that is that cities have this sort of scrappiness because of the realities of their city budgets that frankly, like the federal government doesn't have. But I think it makes them much more comfortable and likely to sort of, you know, beg, borrow, and steal good ideas. One other thing I learned sort of the hard way in government was the importance of showing and not telling. And I think generally technologists and designers bias toward, you know, making things. But I think you cannot say enough how critical it is that when you're trying to sort of demonstrate the impact of something, moving beyond just projections and showing how the public might interact with a new website, or, you know, showing, you know, as close as you can, the reality that you're trying to get people behind.
Well, listeners, you heard it here. Trust before technology. Don't be afraid to be scrappy, and be sure to show, not just tell. We look forward to you guys following Kyla's advice. Thank you so much for joining us, Kyla.
Thanks so much. This was so fun.
And big thanks to Kyla. I promise you, Fixers, I did not pay her for that endorsement of my internship. She was a fantastic boss, and I was just following in her coattails. With all that said, please use hashtag Fixer to tell us how you're solving problems in your neck of the woods. Tweet us at @fix_cast, and please give us a 5-star review so that I can brag to Nishant's friends how successful our podcast is. See you next time, Fixers.